So we're going to deal with how to recognize the spirit of infirmity. Again, this segment today, we're going to deal with particularly on how to discern or recognize the spirit of infirmity. Now, the word infirmity, I'm going to show you two different verses of scripture here. One is going to be Luke chapter 13. So if you have your Bible and you do want to join me, you're welcome to do that. Again, I'm going to be reading from Luke 13. You can bookmark that in Romans chapter 8. Again, Luke 13 and Romans 8. We'll be dealing with a word infirmity, and I want to show you what the definition of this word infirmity is before we move on to this, and we'll plow a little bit deeper on this. Good morning, good afternoon, again, depending on where you're joining me from. The word infirmity in the Greek text of this word used in both the passages of Luke 13 and Romans chapter 8 is a word in the Greek meaning a weakness of the physical body or the soul. Now, the soul, by definition, is the mind, will, and emotions. So if we were to give the proper interpretation or definition of the Greek word for infirmity, it means a weakness of the physical body or a weakness of the mind, a weakness of the will, or the weakness of the emotions. Okay, and we'll plow on that a little bit deeper. So let's go to Luke chapter 13, and I want to show you where the spirit of infirmity is recognized, or where it is identified in this passage. And here's what the Word of God says. Now he was teaching, speaking of Jesus, in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. And behold, there was a woman who had a spirit of infirmity. If you're one like me, I like to underline or like to highlight in my Bible. If you want to do that, you can underline or highlight who had a spirit of infirmity. Now watch this, 18 years. How many believes that's a long time to have a weakness in your physical body or whatever the case may be? In this particular case, this woman was in the synagogue. She had a spirit of infirmity for 18 years. And the word says she was bent over and could in no way raise herself up. But when Jesus saw her, watch this, he called her to himself and said to her, quote, "Woman, thou art loosed from your infirmity." And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. And we know the rest of the passage. The Bible says the ruler or the leader of the synagogue answered with indignation because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath. And he said to the crowd, speaking, "There are 6 days on which men ought to work. Therefore, come and be healed on one of those and not on the Sabbath day." So again, here, there's a lot of things in this, guys, in this passage. We could talk about how the righteous are more worried about their programs and their agenda than they are of seeing men set free or women set free. But that's a whole other teaching. But in this particular topic, we want to deal with something here. Okay. Now, to get into this thing, I want to say this. An infirmity or in a sickness, in this particular case, we know that this infirmity or this weakness, we've already talked about this, in this woman who was a woman, the Bible talks about, and if you go to the book of Matthew, it talks about this, and even in Luke 13, 15, he talks about, Jesus said, this is a daughter of Abraham. So this is a woman of God who has a covenant with God. And for 18 years, she's vexed or she's bound with this spirit of infirmity, again, in her physical body, that's vexed her to the point where she's bent over and she's not physically able to stand straight. So I do want to make this known that not every sickness, not every infirmity, not every disease is a spirit. Let me say that again, because I know that I'll get some folks on here that will try to accuse me of saying this, but this is not what I'm saying. Not every, and I would actually say that most cases are not spiritual. Most cases of infirmities, sicknesses, or diseases are stemmed from, number one, we're living a fallen world. Number two, we're inundated with genetic modifications and all kinds of things that are put into our water stream, to our food, into our and it alters the structure of our food and the process that we're food processing and all these things. Artificial things that's being put in the foods. So that's a thing. Genetics do play a role, but that can be destroyed by the blood of Jesus. Amen. We have hereditary things that are passed on. So again, you have environment. You have the process of foods and the genetics of that being altered through science and through man. You have genetics that play a role. But then you have, in many cases, it can actually be a spirit of infirmity. Now, as we get ready to read on here, I know someone's going to ask me, well, how can we recognize if it's something we're eating, if it's genetics, if it's hereditary, or if it's a spirit, okay? Listen, friends, if you have something going on in your body, listen to me really clear, and you go to doctors, you have examinations, you have x-rays, you have ultrasounds, you have MRIs, you have blood work, you have CT scans, you have all these tests, and I mean, you are covering all the bases, and nothing can be found, and there's no medical reasoning of why you should be having the pain, should be having this, should be having this manifestation, then there's a good chance, friends, that this could be a spirit of infirmity. Now let me show you an example of this, okay? And we'll get on to this. I'm going to read you another verse of scripture, and then we're going to go back up to Luke. Here's a story in Mark chapter 5 of a woman with a issue or a flow of blood for 12 years. And the Bible says, there's many things that jump out to me on this. It never says that she was dealing with the spirit of infirmity, but watch what I want to show you. Number one, she had this issue for she bled for 12 years. Number two, she suffered many things from many physicians. In other words, she went to doctor after, come on, somebody. She went to this doctor, went to this specialist, went to this person, went to that person, went to this person, and no one could give her a reason. No one could help her. No one could give her relief. They couldn't prescribe anything to help her. They couldn't do a surgery to help her. They couldn't bring, in other words, they brought more harm than they brought good. Number three, she spent all that she had and never got better. In fact, she grew worse. Okay. This is Mark chapter 5. So again, she's spending all of her life savings. She's spending all of her money on doctors and physicians and experts and those who practice in this field. But yet for 12 years, she was vexed with this bleeding disorder. But finally, come on, somebody, word got around that there was a healer in town. And when she heard about Yeshua or Jesus, she came behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. For she said within herself, if only I could just touch the hem of his garment, I shall be made well. No doubt, friends. Listen, I don't have the chronological order of this event and when it took place, but chances are she began to hear about testimonies about perhaps this woman who was a daughter of Abraham who went into a synagogue and for 18 years was vexed by a spirit of infirmity. And when Jesus showed up, she was made whole. Or perhaps she heard about the man who had a withered hand. And when he stepped into the synagogue, Jesus said, step forth and stretch forth your hand. And his hand was made whole. Perhaps she heard about the centurion that said that I have a servant that lays sick at home. If you'll just speak the word, I know that he shall be made whole. Perhaps she heard about Jairus' daughter that was raised from the dead. Perhaps she heard about Peter's mother-in-law who was vexed with the fever. And when Jesus touched her hand, she was made whole and she rose up and began to serve them. However, she heard about Jesus as Jehovah Rapha, our healer, it doesn't really matter, but all we know is this, that she heard about what Jesus was able to do, and she knew, she, rather be from being frustrated and deterred and disappointed by all the letdowns of the physicians and the medical doctors and the experts. Instead, she says, I've heard about this Yeshua. I've heard about this Jesus who has the authority, who has the power to set people free of infirmities and sicknesses and diseases. And I know that if I can just get to him and just touch his garment, I shall be made whole. And friends, it happened. Okay, now here's where I want to show you. If you go back to Luke 13, here was a woman who was a Christian. She was a daughter of Abraham. Okay, she had a covenant with God, but for 18 years, she went to church. She was bent over. No doubt she was in a walker, and she came into the church, and there was believers all around her who did not have the authority to set her free. They didn't have the knowledge to set her free. They didn't discern. Can you imagine this? They didn't even have the discernment that she was vexed by a spirit. No doubt that just like churches all across America and around the world, you have people that are in our congregations that have many diseases, infirmities, sicknesses, ailments, weaknesses that we have wrote them off. The church has wrote them off. Well, that's just her lot in life. She just has fibromyalgia. She just has arthritis. She just has MS. She just has this disease or that disorder or that weakness or that infirmity. And instead of having a discerning spirit about them, and instead of having the authority to set anyone free, and instead of actually believing that whatsoever things we do in his name, he shall do it. And it means lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. If it means to cast out devils, and if it means to raise the dead, instead of walking in that obedience, we just come to terms with and accept the lot of the enemy. And in this case, here was a woman for 18 years bound by a spirit of infirmity, and no one ever blinked an eye at this woman. But one day, a man walked into the congregation, and it was not just any man, it was Jesus, the Son of the Living God, who had the authority, the power, and the discernment to recognize that this was not normal. And he cast his spirit off of her and set her free in the name of Jesus. Okay, if we go to Matthew chapter 17, here's what it says. Matthew 17:14-21. Excuse me. And it says, and when they had come to the multitude, a man came to Jesus, kneeling down to him and says, quote, Lord, have mercy upon my son, for he is an epileptic and suffers severely, for he often falls into the fire and he often falls into the water. I brought him to your disciples, but they could not cure him. Now watch this. Jesus didn't say, well, friend, it seems like your son is like many other millions of people around the nation, around the world, who just has this lot in life. He's just an epileptic, and he has seizures, and he's just going to have to come to terms with it. Why don't you go get him some prescription for some kind of medication, keep him out of flashing lights, keeping him out of situations where this can manifest. We just need to come to terms with this. We need to just pamper him and keep this under wraps and just cope with this, suppress this, and deal with this, and this is just your lot in life. No, Jesus didn't say that, friend. The Bible says, Jesus answered and said, oh, faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him to me. And Jesus rebuked the demon. Whoa, wait a minute, stop. Notice that this man who came to Jesus and brought his son, he never said he had a demon. He said he was epileptic. And he suffered greatly, and he often fell in the water, and he often fell into the fire. But Jesus, when he brought the boy to Jesus, Jesus rebuked the demon, and it came out of him. And the child was cured from that very hour. Friends, listen to me. not every case and the majority of cases are not going to be demon possession, are not going to be demon oppression. But in many cases, we have to be walking in the spirit of discernment, the discerning of spirits. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul the apostle addressed the church of Corinth, and he said that there's 9 gifts of the Holy Spirit, and one of them is the discerning of spirits. But listen, if you're one of those who attack the Holy Spirit, you refute the Holy Spirit, and you say it's of the devil and it's not of God, then listen, then you don't have to worry about it, because chances are somewhere down the road, down the line, somewhere in the future, sickness is going to come knocking at your door, and you're not going to have the authority to deal with it. You're not going to have the discernment to deal with it. And that breaks my heart, friends. And I'm not going to waste time casting pearls before swine. But for those who have a discernment, those who have a hunger and a knowledge and an ability to understand and want to know the deeper things of God, I'm trying to give you some principles here today, friend, that there is times in our lives, whether it will come knocking at our door or whether it comes knocking at someone else's door that we may know personally, we will see this manifest in our lives. Let me give you another verse of scripture. Romans chapter 8, Romans chapter 8, verses 26 and 27. Likewise, this is Paul speaking. Likewise, the Spirit, who? The Spirit also helps in our infirmities. Your King James, I know for all my 1611 King James loving people of the Bible, your King James version says, likewise, the Spirit also helps in our infirmities. Again, that word infirmities translates to weaknesses. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the who? The Spirit Himself will make intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now He who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because He makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Now who is the He in this context? It is the Spirit, the Holy Spirit of God. So friends, there's going to be times when you and I, and listen, I'm for all those who want to refute or attack or oppose the Holy Spirit, this is not for you. So you can go get you a hot dog, go get you something to eat, go watch some television, go do whatever you got to do, because we're not dealing with you in this segment. I'm speaking to Holy Spirit, Bible-believing men and women of God, or those who may not be filled with the Holy Spirit of God, who are hungry and want to know more in the deep things of God. That's who we're dealing with on this segment. Okay? There's going to be times when you and I, when we're dealing with maybe a weakness, again, and it can be an infirmity. An infirmity, we've already talked about this, can not only be we always want to translate, and we usually connect an infirmity with a physical attack on a body, and that can be, but it can also be a weakness dealing with the mind, will, or emotions. Have you ever heard this term? Well, you know, so-and-so's got a weakness in the area of cussing, or they've got a weakness in smoking. They've got a weakness in lust. They've got a weakness in anger. They've got a weakness in fear. Guys, that's reality. That's real. They really, truly can have a infirmity in those issues, and they need deliverance. They need to be set free by the power of the Holy Ghost. So watch this. There's going to be times when you and I are going to be praying either for ourselves or for another individual dealing with an infirmity or a weakness in these areas. And we're not going to know what we should pray for. We can't articulate words in the English language or whatever language you're listening to by YouTube or by Facebook. So in that situation, the Holy Spirit will begin to make intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Thus, this is why it's important to be filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost, with the prayer language of the Spirit. Because this is why, golly, this is opening a whole can of worms. But if you go to 1 Corinthians 12, 1 Corinthians 13, 1 Corinthians 14, Paul says that when I pray in the Spirit, and I will pray in the Spirit, but I also pray in in my own language, with my understanding and with the Spirit. So again, there's a purpose to the prayer language of the Spirit. And we don't have time to get into that. It's a whole other teaching. But this is what he's talking about right here in Romans chapter 8. When we begin to pray in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit will begin. Come on, this is what it says right here. He who searches the hearts and knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. So when we begin to pray in the Holy Ghost, Jude says, building up your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit. We begin to tap into heaven. We begin to tap into the mind of God. We begin to tap into the throne room of heaven. And we begin to pray according to the perfect will of God over this situation. Then all of a sudden, you'll get an understanding. God will give you an enlightenment. God will give you a revelation of a situation that you didn't have prior knowledge to. And then all of a sudden, you will know, wait a minute, we're dealing with a spirit here and not just some diagnosis because they are this or because of that or because of this. So again, in there is some cases where we will be dealing with a spirit behind these things, okay? But in most cases, let me give you some examples. Most cases, you've got a lot of people out there. Let's just be real here. There's a lot of people that deal with high blood pressure. They deal with sugar diabetes. They deal with this and they deal with that. And when you begin to trace it out, a lot of these situations is their own demise. It's because they drink too much soft drinks. They eat too much sugar. They eat too much cake. They eat too much ice cream. They eat too much dessert. They eat too many potato chips. Come on, somebody. They're eating too much pork. They're eating too much red meat. They're putting too much salt in their diet. Thus, they have hypertension, high blood pressure, sugar, diabetes, and all these other illnesses and infirmities and sicknesses that are tied in because of their lifestyles. I've said this before. I'll say it again. There was many years ago. I was in a sanctuary of a service, and it was after prayer. A man came to me. He was overweight. He came to me with a huge 1 liter bottle of Mountain Dew in his hand. He came to me and he says, "Brother Ricky," he says, "will you agree with me in prayer that God will heal me of diabetes?" And immediately, by discernment, it didn't really take much discernment because I saw the 1 liter of Mountain Dew. I saw that he was obese. And I asked him, I said, "So-and-so," I said, "is this type 1 or type 2 diabetes?" He said it was type 2. So I knew that the diabetes came upon him by his lifestyle. And I asked him, before I ever prayed with him, I said, "Let me ask you a question." I said, I have no problem praying with you, but are you going to stop drinking this? I said, and that's what I asked him. I said, "How many of these things do you drink a day?" And he says, "Oh, about 4 a day or so." Are you really 4 liters of Mountain Dew a day? And you wonder why you have type 2 diabetes and you're overweight. But you want me to pray and you want God to heal you of this affliction when you are the one that brought it upon yourself. Okay? And when he said, and I asked him, I said, "Are you going to stop drinking this?" And he said, "No." And immediately the Spirit of God checked me and said, "Don't pray for this man because you're wasting your time." Did you hear me? So what am I talking about? I'm talking about there's many things that we do by our lifestyle, by our habits, and our addictions, and our strongholds of eating, drinking, lifestyles, doing this, doing that, the lack thereof, that we produce this, we cause this, we bring this upon, okay? But when we're doing everything consciously right, we're eating right, we're drinking plenty of water, we're exercising, we're praying over ourselves, we're doing everything that we know to do, and then an infirmity comes or a sickness comes that there's no understanding of why or recollection or comprehension of why this came upon us, then we could be dealing with something here, because there can be doors that we're opening, and that's a whole other topic in itself. There can be doors we're opening through our eye gate, through our ear gate, through our heart, associations, sins in our lives, things we shouldn't be doing, and it can open the door for a spirit of weakness or a spirit of infirmity to have a hold upon us, okay? Now, let me give you a personal story, and then I'm going to talk about something that's very interesting. Many years ago, my own wife, this was years ago, probably 15 years ago, I had a dream one night, and in this dream, I saw my wife standing there in the dream, and I saw a demon about 3 foot tall, a demon in this dream, and he reached his hand up, and he sunk his claws into right in this area of her esophagus. And I woke up and I was like, okay. So I began to plead the blood of Jesus over her. I began to bind every demonic force, demonic power, spirits, everything I knew to do. Okay. So weeks went on, and all of a sudden she began to complain about pains and difficulty swallowing in her esophageal area. And I didn't think nothing of it. So this went on for a week, went on for a couple of weeks. She went to the doctor. She had an ultrasound done. Everything was normal. She had blood tests done. Everything was normal. They did all these examinations. Everything was normal. Again, nothing was showing up, but she said she was feeling, she said it was hurt. There was pain and there was difficulty swallowing. There was these situations going on. And I'll never forget this. My mother-in-law had come down that weekend out of town, and she was there, and I went into the bedroom, and I began to pray about my wife. I said, God, I'm asking that you'd heal her. And all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit of God began to speak to me and said, I showed you what the source of this was. And all of a sudden, I was like, oh, my gosh. And that's right. So I went in there. Now, look, you're talking about boldness. Here's my mother-in-law standing there, and she had no understanding of what I'm about to get into. But I didn't care, because I was more worried about my wife being set free from this thing than I was concerned about the opinions of other people. Come on, somebody. Same thing that Jesus did to the daughter of Abraham of 18 years, the man with the withered hand, come on, and the woman with the issue of blood. He did not care about reputation or about the opinions of people. He was more concerned about setting somebody free, okay? So I went into the room. There was my wife. There was my mother-in-law, and I looked at Melissa, and I said, "Do you remember weeks ago when I had that dream? And I told you about this dream. We prayed about this. I said the Lord has given me a revelation of this. This is a spirit of infirmity that has tried to grasp a hold of you to torment you and to distract you and to torment you to basically to wear you down." And she says, "Oh my gosh, I remember that." And so immediately I took a bottle of anointing oil and I laid hands right up here by where this pain was, and I rebuked the spirit of infirmity off of her. And friends, from that moment on, this thing left her. She no longer had any pains, no longer had any issues. She could swallow, and she no longer suffered from that situation. What am I talking about? I'm talking about a spirit of infirmity, all right? Now, listen, many of my personal mentors that I have books up here behind me on the shelves of, Smith Wigglesworth, A.A. Allen, Fred Stone, the father of Perry Stone, who went on to be with the Lord many years ago. Many of these individuals have all gone. In fact, all of them have gone on to be with the Lord. Lester Summerall, all these men of God, these generals of the faith, and they were known for healing. They were known for miracles. They were known for raising the dead and casting out devils. All these individuals have one thing in common, and they all believed, they taught and believed that many times cancers and these major diseases were the work of Satan, and they were demonic powers and demonic spirits. Okay, so when they prayed for people, they would take authority over these demons. Okay, for example, I'm going to read you this excerpt. This is from the life of Smith Wigglesworth. Quote, many people said they were cured of cancer by Wigglesworth, whose only training was a plumber. Did you hear that? Many individuals documented healings by Smith Wigglesworth, who was a plumber by trade, who got saved and baptized in the Holy Ghost and saw multiple people raised from the dead, healings, signs, wonders, and miracles. Okay? Smith Wigglesworth described cancer as a, quote, living evil spirit, and insisted that many diseases were satanic in origin. Because you do know that cancer is nothing in a scientific understanding or a medical understanding. Cancer is the manipulation of the DNA structures caused by free radical cells or by mutation. So they really can't recognize, or they can't give you a solid term or definition or understanding of why cancer comes or why it's manifested. But again, from a scientific understanding or from a medical reasoning, it's again the mutation of DNA structure that causes these cancers. But again, these men of faith, these generals of the faith like Smith Wigglesworth, described cancer as a, quote, living evil spirit, and insisted that many diseases were, quote, satanic in origin. Here's where it gets even more interesting. His methods of praying for people dealing with cancers and these diseases often involved hitting, slapping, or even punching the afflicted part of the body. On a number of occasions, his approach to persons suffering from stomach complaints was to punch them in the stomach. Sometimes he would use such force that it propelled the individual across the room. When he was challenged on this, now could you imagine seeing this in a service? When he was challenged on this, his response was, quote, I don't hit the people, I'm hitting the devil. Responding to criticism over his method of praying for the sick, Wigglesworth stated, quote, you might think by the way or the methods in which I pray for the sick that I was sometimes unloving and rough, but oh, friends, you have no idea what I see behind the sickness and the one who is afflicted. Quote, I am not dealing with that individual. I'm dealing with the satanic forces that are binding the afflicted. Now listen, I don't have any problem telling you right now. If I was dealing with a cancer in my body and I knew that a man of God could come up to me and punch me as hard as he could in the stomach with the authority of Jesus' name and with the word of God, and it was going to set me free, honey, you can punch me all you want. Mike Tyson, whoever, you can punch me anywhere you want. If I knew I was going to get up off the floor and go out the door and I was healed, delivered, and set free in Jesus' name. Come on, you better amen me, somebody right there. Because listen, and you may say, well, that's ridiculous. I would never. Listen, if you're in pain for 18 years, if a woman was bound and afflicted for 18 years and was a daughter of Abraham for 18 years, I can tell you right now, she didn't care about reputation. She didn't care about opinions. She didn't care about whether she was not going to be accepted anymore at the church that she was attending or the synagogue. She could care less. All she cared about was the next Sunday. Come on, somebody. The next Sabbath, when that woman showed up, she was no longer bent over and had to have a walker, but she walked on in and was healed, delivered, and set free of that spirit of infirmity. On one occasion, Wigglesworth declared to the sick, listen to this, guys. When I read this, oh, the conviction that would hit me. Whew. On one particular occasion, Wigglesworth spoke to the sick and he said, quote, I'm only going to pray for you one time, because to pray for you twice is unbelief. Now, come on, some of this is so shocking to us because we're so inundated and filled with such unbelief that a teaching like this sounds radical. But I'm telling you, the proof is in the pudding, as the old timers would say. So again, Wigglesworth would say, I'm only going to pray for you once, because to pray for you twice is unbelief. The next night, a man approached the altar in which Wigglesworth was ministering to receive prayer again. And Wigglesworth recognizes the man who came again. Listen what Wigglesworth says. Quote, didn't I pray for you last night? You are full of unbelief. Get off of this platform. Golly, could you imagine seeing that in a service? And you say, why would a man say that? I'm going to tell you why. Because I know how Wigglesworth was thinking right here. Because Wigglesworth knew that unbelief is more of a deadly disease than an infirmity could ever be. Oh, y'all didn't hear it. Let me say it again. Unbelief is more debilitating than any sickness or disease could ever be in the body of Christ. You want proof for that, friend? Because my Bible says that because of offense and unbelief, Jesus was not able to do many miracles in his own hometown. It wasn't because people, because of the magnitude of the sickness or because of the level of extremity of the disease in which they came. No, Jesus was never intimidated by what type of disease it was, or if it was a cancer, or if it was this, or if it was that. No, the thing that hindered people from being set free and delivered was not the level of extremity of the disease, but it was the amount of unbelief and offense that was residing in the atmosphere. Therefore, this is why Wigglesworth told a man who did not have the faith to believe and had to come back. He says, get off the platform because you're hindering everybody else that has the faith to believe here today. And I feel the Holy Ghost on me. You remember in the book of Acts, the Bible says that Paul was preaching in the book of Acts, and there was a man standing there who had faith to believe to be healed. And Paul looked out in the congregation and he saw that the man had faith, and he called him out, and the man was healed and set free. I'm telling you, I believe by the power of the Holy Ghost that people are going to be set free today on this broadcast, on Facebook, on YouTube, or however you're watching this. Okay. In fact, let's just go ahead and get into this thing right now. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Thank you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Listen, friends, if you're watching this by YouTube or by Facebook, and maybe you're like the woman, you're the daughter of Abraham. You're born again. You're spirit-filled. You're a Bible-believing Christian. You've been serving the Lord for many years. And for many years, you're like the woman with the issue of blood. You've spent all that you've went to doctors, you went to specialists, you went to physicians, you've even went to natural terms. You took every pill, you took every herb, you took everything you can to try to get relief of this thing. But you feel like by the Holy Spirit, by the discerning of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit is revealing to you that this is a spirit of infirmity. I don't care if it's muscular, if it's in your bones, if it's in your blood, if it's neurological, if it's psychological, whatever the case may be. I know the name that is going to be able to set you free, and it's the name of Jesus, the name of Yeshua. And I declare unto you right now, if you'll just lay hands on your heart right now, I'm going to begin to pray for people right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, we take authority by the name of Jesus over every spirit of infirmity. Lord, you're not intimidated by cancer, you're not intimidated by diabetes, you're not intimidated by hepatitis, you're not intimidated by AIDS or HIV or STDs or whatever terminal illnesses, terminal diseases that are named by name, by physicians, by doctors, whatever the case may be. But the name of Jesus is above every name. And Lord, we believe that by your stripes that we were healed and we are healed. And Lord, we take authority over this spirit of infirmity that's vexing my brother, vexing my sister, and we command it now to go in Jesus' name. Infirmities that are attacking people's minds and causing weaknesses in their emotions, weaknesses in their neurological functioning. Lord, that maybe perhaps they're dealing with schizophrenia, dealing with dementia, dealing with dealing with these disorders, Lord God, that bipolarism, yes, Lord, and these issues that's been wrote off by prescriptions, by psychologists, and by doctors. We rebuke that devil off of your mind in Jesus' name, and I declare freedom. I declare liberation over you in Jesus' name. May you speak clearly. May your thought process be clear again. May you begin to articulate words again. Come on, may you begin to write books. I don't know who this is to, but may you begin to write books again. May you author again. The devil is a liar, and he's told you that you would never author a book. You would never write a book because of this disorder in your mind. And I'm hearing ADHD, and the doctors have tried to tell you this is a cross that you'll have to bear, but the devil is a liar, and I declare that today, man, I feel the compassion of the Holy Spirit. I feel like someone today is being set free in their mind. They're going to begin to think like they've never thought before. They're going to begin, creativity is going to begin to stir in your mind like never before. You will write that book. You will author that book in Jesus' name. Somebody is going to begin to work again. Someone who's been out with disability because of an affliction, kind of like the woman with the daughter of Abraham for 18 years. They've been bent over an affliction in their body, in their spine, and their spinal cord, either a herniated disc or a disorder that's dealing with their spine, their vertebrae, and their brain, their stem, that's caused them to not be able to work and function in the workforce, and they had to rely on disability. Lord, may you set them free right now by the power of the Holy Ghost. Devil, get your hands off of them. Get your hands off vertebrae, your hands off spinal cords, your hands off a disc in Jesus' name, your hands off of people in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. May they walk again. May they run again. May they leap again. May they enjoy their life again. May they play with their kids again in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Cancer, we take authority over you. I just declare that the spirit of infirmity that's manifested itself as cancer in bodies is going now in Jesus' name. Tumors are drying up in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, blood cancers are drying up. Leukemia, we curse you in the name of Jesus. And I speak the blood of Jesus to flow through your veins. The blood of Emmanuel veins is flowing through your veins all the way from Calvary to 2017, from the crown of your head to the soles of your feet. May your blood be normal. May it function again. May your white blood cells be normal. Your red blood cells be normal in Jesus' name. May you begin to eat again. May you have an appetite again. May you gain weight in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. May strength come back into your body. Strength back into your bones. In the name of Jesus. Father, I just thank you, Lord. Lord, that there's a minister that's watching this by YouTube or by Facebook, and they've desired to travel again. They've wept, Lord, because they've wanted to be behind the pulpit again. They've wanted to be able to lay hands on people again. They've wanted to fellowship among other believers again, but they've been bedridden. They've been enclosed into a location where they can only watch from a distance. They can only see ministry. They can only participate through media. But Lord, I thank you that you're healing them and setting them free in Jesus' name, that they can go into the highways and byways again. And the Lord is faithful, who began a good work in you, who's faithful, who will finish it and bring it to pass in Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. Now, there's somebody here. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And you say, and someone's watching this right now by YouTube or by Facebook, and you're skeptical because maybe you're in a denomination, or maybe you've been taught that there's no such thing as a spirit of infirmity. Friends, listen to you. I just gave you Bible for it. And you've been taught that the Holy Spirit and the manifestations of the Holy Spirit, the speaking in tongues, the laying on of hands, and all this stuff is either of the devil, or it's been done away with in the fourth century by the last apostle. Friend, I'm telling you that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. And listen, you are sick in your body, and you've got an infirmity, and maybe it's a physical problem, maybe it's a mental problem, emotional, maybe you need to be set free from some type of addiction. but you are so embarrassed and you're so worried and concerned about the opinions of your denomination or your church that you will not go forward and get prayed for because people don't believe it, or they'll cast you out. Friends, listen, if you'll stretch your hands towards me right now, God wants to set you free. But listen, it's going to cost you something, and it's going to cost you your testimony. Friends, you've got to get over what people think. You've got to get over the opinions of people. Listen, I know a true story of a woman who, right here in Indiana, there was a man by the name of William Branham who... this man was given a dream that in this dream he saw a woman who was bedridden with cancer in her body. And the Lord gave William Branham, not only did he give her a vision, give him a vision of this woman in this bed, but the Holy Spirit gave him the address of this woman and said, I want you to go to this woman's house and pray for her because I've shown her in a dream a man of God showing up who's going to lay hands on her and that she would be set free. Friends, listen, not only did William Branham knock on the door and show up, but the woman's sister answered the door and said, and called out her name, who was laying in bed dying of cancer, and said, there's a man here at the door who says the Holy Spirit sent him to lay hands on you that you may be healed. The woman in the bed began to weep because she saw this man in a dream that would show up and pray for her. Never, to make a long story short, the man of God laid hands on her. God totally healed her of cancer. She was the piano player at the church, which was a Baptist church, went back to the church, testified. The church knew she was cancer-ridden, testified of what God had did, and they did not rejoice with her. Instead, they cast her out of the congregation because they didn't believe in it. And so another church down the road embraced her, accepted her, and through her and her ministry of music and her testimony, God did a mighty revival in that church. Golly, somebody. So listen, who cares what people think? Because it could be possible that God could use you and your testimony to turn your church upside down, to turn your region upside down, and bring revival to your home, your church, your region, right where you're at. The demoniac and the Gadarenes was one man who was set free by a legion of demons who went back into the town and brought the whole town out to see the man who set them free. It only takes one person, guys. And I'm telling you, I feel that strong in my spirit. If people will just step out of their comfort zone, break off of them. I rebuke the spirit of fear off of you, the spirit of compromise, and the spirit of the enemy that would vex you to keep you in your bondage and convince you that it would be better to remain in your infirmity than not shake the boat of your denomination than it would be to step forward and be set free and be used by God. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Guys, listen. Man, I'm telling you, this was a powerful broadcast because I feel the anointing of the Holy Spirit on this. I believe with all my heart that people will be touched by this broadcast. And I just plead the blood of Jesus over every individual under the sound of my voice, including myself. And I thank you, God, for your delivering power to set men free today on this earth. Guys, listen, please share this with somebody that will benefit from this. If you're just joining me, you need to go back and watch this and share this with somebody. We talked about dealing, how to discern or how to recognize the spirit of infirmity. Okay, share this on YouTube, share this on Facebook. Again, endtimeheadlines.org. I'm going to type this in. If you see my hands up here moving, I forgot this the other day that I have the ability to do this. And I know there's another way to do this because I can get another device, which I'm going to start doing this. To type this stuff in. So just bear with me if it looks weird on here. But here, I'm going to post this real quick. There, right there is our, that endtimeheadlines.org right there. Endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com. You will find our main website. If you would like to support this ministry by a financial blessing of any amount, you can do too. You can go to that main website right there, endtimeheadlines.org, and you can sow into this ministry, or you can find the link at the description at Facebook at the top or on YouTube at the bottom. Listen, we love you guys. God bless you. Hold on before you go. I'm going to try to do this tomorrow or Saturday. There's a passage, and it kind of stems off of this. The book of Jude deals with three spirits. The book of Jude deals with three spirits, and I want to talk about how they're affecting the church today. Three spirits affecting the church today and how to recognize those. And we'll try to do this tomorrow or Saturday. So be watching for that. And it'll kind of be a stem off of this. But we want to get you informed. You know, the Bible says to be not ignorant of Satan's devices. We don't want you to be ignorant, guys. We want you to be discerning and aware of what's going on. So again, we love you guys. God bless you. Be safe. And we'll see you soon. God bless.